Brother, would you like to pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for allow me to get off of my time today, Lord, to get here in church. If I was busy at work, Lord, I got a piece of day, and I thank you for that. My brother, we church this morning to hear your word preach. Dear Lord, I lift up all the prayer requests, Lord, for Sheree, dear God, and people who still been hanging around with COVID, Lord, and people with cancer, heart surgeries, you name it. Dear Father, I pray that you give them a speedy recovery, dear Lord. Help us all, dear God, not to get discouraged, dear God. I pray and pray for each other. Pray for our need to answer our prayers and always put our trust in you. You know, sometimes I get discouraged, but I go back to your promises, dear Father, and that all people that ask for believe we shall receive. And pray for Brother Barn over there, Lord, with a very pressing issue of medication. Mm-hmm. Heaven, Father, just help us to listen to your word and preach tonight. Dear God, there's something out of it, dear Father. In your soul name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim.
Well, amen. My sister sent me a text. They were in Dominican. They're in Dominican Republic. They're flying back tomorrow, and they were in 6 of 7 schools in the island. Now, I don't know if Dawn, you said they were a certain type of school. Were they deaf schools or? Okay, because there's a lot of schools on the island, but they were in 6 of 7 schools in the island, and they led 160 people to the Lord, and they had 24 saved at the Deaf Day at the church down there. That's where Brother McKnight and his family are going. So praise the Lord for that. This morning I shared with you a little bit about my trip last week, and just what we saw, what we learned. It's anytime you go and you sit down, and the preacher and the staff sat down with us and shared in depth their philosophy. Of course, it's not an extra biblical philosophy. It's really more zoomed into what the Bible. When I was down there, I felt like I was in the Book of Acts. That's what it felt like. They do things different, and they don't have Sunday school. They have church, and that one church service, I mean, it kept me buzzed for a week. I mean, it was great to be there. People, of course, it's in Florida, and there are people in all, some of them in Hawaiian shirts, and some people, you know, all kinds of different people, packed out, had a choir sitting up there. Choir just sat there, and they didn't look too enthused as they sat there. But, man, when they got ready to sing, I'll tell you, they sang an old-fashioned, just an old-fashioned song, and, I mean, it was good. And what they do, and on Wednesday nights, you know what they do on Wednesday nights? They have dinner and fellowship with each other. And it's packed out. People come. And they everything is pointed toward their evangelism, and they don't separate evangelism from discipleship. And I've been praying for a couple years, how can we get everybody involved in the church and evangelism? Because here's what happens. This is what happens with our church, and you all know I believe Saturday's for family. I just do. I believe on Saturday you need to get your stuff done for the week, spend time with your family. But that's where I am. But there's a lot of churches. They have, I mean, there's churches of 1,000 and they have 10 for visitation, you know, to go out and knock doors. And knocking doors is not the only way you see people saved. And I mean, in all my years knocking on doors, the percentage of the people that I've led to the Lord would probably be 10% at the door. Now, if I get in the house, we're talking bingo. You get to sit down with people at the table and open the Word of God. That's just like letting a pit bulldog loose in the house. The Holy Spirit just loves that, and just like those dogs yesterday. Everybody needs to visit Mona's one time with the dogs. That little dog jumped about 5 feet from me and sailed. I thought, I thought I was seeing the cape, one of those commercials with the cape dog. Anyhow, but what I'm saying is, if we can get everybody involved in evangelism, and it's scary to think about that for people. But when you see how it's put together and how it works, it's exciting. And it's that's how those people came to that church. I look, and on Wednesday night we have the kids here and the teens here, but on Sunday we don't have any teens or kids. You know, and I have to evaluate, and I'm really doing some soul searching as to our ministry and what we're doing. Those kids that get saved on Wednesday night and those teens that get saved on Wednesday night, that's spectacular. It's exciting. But we send them from here. They're here for an hour. And then they go to the other churches and their parents. I mean, some of those other churches, if they just went to the churches, but I say this with my heart low, some of these kids' parents don't care about them. They don't. They let them do things that they shouldn't. They're into stuff they shouldn't let them do. And I have to as a pastor evaluate the big picture, where we're going and how we're going. And you know me, I really like to pray over things or something. So I really need you to pray about how we proceed with this, because we all have to buy in, and we all have to be part of it. And I'm talking about the Sunday morning crowd, and I'm talking about every member being part of it, and we are in a different century. We are in different days, and the opportunity to reach out and connect to people is unbelievable. We have to do some outside-the-box things. We have to do some outside-the-box tracks. You know, one of their tracks says, "No vegans here." You know, that's the kind of track you give people at barbecue place. And they had a track on "No Karens here." Now, I don't know if you know what a Karen is, but that's a phrase for somebody, and that's not just a woman. It's not Arnold's daughter. But it's somebody that's got to be in control, and it literally gives the gospel. But it says on the back, if you're coming here with an agenda and wanting to control things, this is not the church for you. Amen. And I mean they just for a member to come, they say, okay, 6 months, you sit there, and we'll see if we like you, and you see if you like us, and then. And when you become a member, part of the deal is, hey, I'm gonna be involved in evangelism. And it's not just a tremendous. I'll tell you what, the Spirit was the same warm Spirit that we have here.
Amen.
It was the same warm Spirit we have here. And the preaching was hot. Preachers, I got to talk to Brother Tillis, and I said, what are you preaching at? He said, I preach. He says, I am going back and listen to the old preaching.
Right.
He said, this newfangled rapping with people and all this stuff and speech stuff is not what gets it done.
Amen.
And he got up on Sunday morning and took three verses and preached on you know, losing your love, and he talked about his wife and how they, at one time in their, she said to him, you know, I like to do the silly things. And, you know, he said, we need to get back to the basic things. We need to, do we love God, you know? And it was right on. Didn't give an invitation. Had people at the back. If people wanted to talk, the people were back there, counselors, to talk and said, hey, it was different in some areas. And it was refreshing, very refreshing. He had a staff, and the testimony of the guys. I got to talk to all three of the staff members, and it's not like he went to some college looking for some guy, or it was just these people were just got saved. One guy on staff named Gio, he lived a long way from the church, and so he told his wife, he said, we're going to get involved in that church. And he got a fifth wheel and moved himself where he could park a fifth wheel. And that's where they're still in the fifth wheel. And he's on staff. I mean, he's all in. Tremendous testimony. Gio has testimony. And Rich went to Hiles Anderson for a year. Then he went and was in Sammy Allen's college. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of Sammy Allen. Sammy's with the Lord. He had a camp meeting. He would preach, and they'd take up an offering, and he'd get up after that offering. He says, hey, we didn't get enough in the offering. We're going to take another one. And Arnold likes that, don't you? But I'll tell you who. Brother Chad Bailey will be with us for our anniversary revival. Brother Chad Bailey handles the Word of God, and, I mean, you'll enjoy. But anyhow, Rich is with him. He says he has been with him since they started the church. And then Kevin, he works with graphic arts and all that stuff. But good guys. And here's how serious they are. They paid for our hotel. I didn't have to pay for my hotel. They paid for our meals. Gave us books. And they told me when I was, he says, if you want me to come up, if you want us to come up there when you start this, we'll help you. And we'll pay for it. I mean, they were serious about it. But it was exciting. So I need you to pray for me. And there's something, and I'm also working on, in my mind, in my heart, developing a mentoring program. It's the same, mentoring's the same word as discipleship. But there's different tiers of discipleship, and we need to understand that. We need to be, I don't know what you call it in security or in the military, but you need to be able to adjust. You understand what I'm saying? Say somebody gets saved and they come in and you're going through discipleship with them, but they're going through a divorce or they're going through this or they're going through something else. Well, what you do is you put that aside and you help them through that. And we need to learn from the scriptures how to help people. So there's some counseling things, and I want to put, you know, I'm looking for counseling training to expose you all to and different things like that. So I know I'm going on and on, but we got all night, amen? But I want you to pray because I really want to see souls saved, and I want to see us connect to the community. Okay, the gangs are connecting to the community. Right? Right? The liquor joints are connecting to the community. If anybody ought to be connecting to the community, I'm talking to adults, we ought to. I want to see us grow. I want to see our Sunday morning crowd say, you know, we don't have any more chairs, Pastor. What do we do? I want to see us do an overflow, and God can do it through us, but we've got to get on the right path and everything. So I'm excited about Vacation Bible School. Okay, Brother Kaiser will have the kids pumped up, sugared up. and we'll have a good time with that. So the church, the Bible says Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for it, amen? And this is our church. This is a special place, isn't it? And tonight I want us to think about membership. We're going to look at membership for a little bit. You might want to take your pencil out, and I'm going to say some things, and I'll expand on some things so you can understand. I really think probably we ought to put out a sheet or put out something on the screen if you want to become a part of a member of the church, how to do it, because we have people that come here and they don't know whether to join, or when to join, how to join, what to join, like it says on TV, membership has its privileges. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to be in the book of Acts for a little bit, and I want to say something that a lot of religious organizations don't believe you should have a membership list. They just want to pass the offering on Sunday morning, and they don't do anything the rest of the week. So there you go. You know what kind of churches they are. But we can't prove that they had a membership list. We can't do that. But it's clear that they did have a membership, that people were joined to the local church there. And I want us to, first of all, I want you to think about this by way of introduction. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 17, Acts chapter 1 and 17, members were numbered. Members were numbered. It says, "For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry." Listen, I believe it's God's will that you be joined to a local church, be committed to a local church. There's a lot of people there, and there's a lot of people that have been hurt. There's a lot of people that have been hurt by preachers. Okay, you can say amen. There's probably more people that have been hurt by deacons, but I'm just kidding. But people have been hurt and in churches. Let me just tell you something. I'm flabbergasted at the misuse of Scripture in churches today. And you preacher, you're not going to stand before God and misuse the Scripture in your dealings with church and say, "Well, that's just the way we did it." That doesn't work. That doesn't work. And that doesn't answer young people that really want to know why we do what we do when you say that's just the way we do it. Okay? And I've had people say, "Well, why do you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night?" "Because I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be there." "But why do you go?" "Well, we worship those days. We have a midweek service." And I said, "Well, why so much time?" I said, "Look, let's look at the book of Acts. They daily. It was daily. You want to do that?" "Well, maybe what's good. Maybe what you got is good. Never mind." Right? And so we should be part of a church. We should be, again, they conducted elections in Acts chapter 1 and verse 26. "And they gave forth lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Now, here's what happened. Judas had betrayed the Lord. He was a devil. He was not saved, and he betrayed the Lord. So they needed another one. They felt they needed another one, so they cast lots, and that's who it fell on. That's the way they did it. And so they did that. And so Matthias, and they had 12 apostles. And the church added members. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word," what's that mean? Does it say they listened to the preaching? What's that mean? They got saved, right? Anybody have a problem with that? Now, it says, "were what? Baptized." Now, that's not sprinkled. That's not dipped. That's immersed. "And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And my brethren that argue that the church, there was not a church before Pentecost, what are you going to add to? It would say started if there was nothing there. Amen? Can anybody do that math? Okay, 2 plus 2 still is 4. Okay? And it says in verse 47, look at what it says in verse 47, 247, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. I want you to zero in on that, having favor with all people, not just saved, but all people. You see, they were reaching their community. They were reaching their community, and folks were being saved. The word added implies an existence. They also voted on church discipline. They voted on church discipline. And we'll look at that. We'll look at that in just a little bit, church discipline, a little bit down the road in the message. But they voted on church discipline. That's when members, and we'll talk about that later. Then the church, they settled quarrels. They settled quarrels. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, by the way, what's the ideal way to settle a quarrel between two members? They fight in the parking lot. Yeah. Pray for Marissa. Lord have mercy. Well, you know, some people, they do that down south. They got Euodius and Syndicus all over down south fighting in the parking lot, throwing those Dooney Burke purses at each other and all that stuff, and whooping on up at you, you know. A purse is a lethal weapon. That's another message. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 1 through 7. It says, is there any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Now, let me say something. It's not talking about a criminal matter. You understand that? The state, the government views me as a agent of the government. Say, what does that mean? That means if there's something criminal, I report it. You understand? And I have. You know, I've pastored churches where people have been children have been molested. I reported them. Said, what happened? The guy went to jail. You know? Back in the day, they used to go lay hands on him, but that's another message. And then notice it says, do ye know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, and ye worthy to judge the smallest matters, know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Then if ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Now, what was happening? What was happening? They were taking each other to court, doing stuff. Right? Now, look. If there's here's how you do it biblically. If there's something between Glade and Arnold, get it right between them. Period. And that doesn't mean Glade goes mouthing off to everybody about Arnold, and Arnold goes mouthing off to everybody about Glade. That's wrong. Say, what do you do if somebody, if I offend somebody, and I'm sure I have, and by the way, if I do, you come to me as your pastor and let me know, because I'm not above anything. I'm not above offending people. I don't want to. Sometimes I do. I don't, you know, my heart's pure. But what are you saying, Arnold? What did he say? Wendy, will you give him a whooping when you get home? But if you offend somebody, you say you get it right between you two. Why? Number one, that's the way you do it. Number two, that protects your testimony. Right? Okay, now, we aren't politicians here, okay? And they voted on welfare cases in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, talks about widows and helping widows out, okay? Now, let me get to this point. There's Let's think about receiving the church order in receiving members. How do you receive members? The prerequisite for being a member of this church is to have a great bank account. And is that Arnold says yes. Nah. the requirements for being received into this church. Mona says all in favor. It's to be saved and baptized by immersion. Now, I'm going to expand on that in a little bit because Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, some churches don't require to be saved to be a member. The Methodist Church on the Eastern Shore costs you $2,500 to join. And I know a guy that wanted, I talked to about the Lord, and he said, yeah, Mike, we wanted to baptize our child, and they said it cost you $2,500. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I thought on the way back from the Eastern Shore on how I could make some side money, but seriously, think about it. Saved and baptized. That's it. Are you with me? And some religious denominations don't require it. There has to be. Now here's something that has to happen, and this is something you all know that I share with you all over and over again. And by the way, I didn't know if you figure this out, but I'm still learning. As long as I'm breathing, I'm still trying to learn, understand. You know, I preached through the book of John. There were things in the book of John I read that I missed. That I missed going through. You ever do that? I mean, and jumped out like it's like the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor and says, see, you missed that. Why'd you miss that? Isn't that obvious? I don't know if that's me speaking to me or the Holy Spirit, but some things just, I mean, stick out. I mean, Brother Frank, I just read the book of John, and I can't, how demonic Pharisees are. They were. They wanted to kill him. How blinded they were. And how, we need to realize that's the way it is today. People, if you're a Bible believer, you believe like we do, the people, there's a hate.
Right.
There's a hate. And so there has to be a doctrinal agreement. And that doesn't mean the things that are not doctrine. Okay? You have to wear a tie. You have to do this. You have to do that. Well, that's not it doesn't say that in the Bible, right? Talking about doctrine, and that's what that's why we're teaching doctrine. That's why I'm taking time. This is not as exciting as preaching on fishing or the Book of John or the Book of Esther, but this is reinforcing. You as a church member need to understand this. You as a church member need to be able to explain this. Doctrine is important. If we let somebody join the church that is not right on doctrine, what happens? You say, well, preacher, they'll learn. No. They may have their own hidden agenda. See? That's as ridiculous as somebody saying, some Christian girl saying, I love him and he's not a Christian, but he'll get saved after I get married. No, that's not happening. By the grace of God, it has happened. And hold your breath and cross your heart and eyeballs and toes and everything. But you know, saved people are supposed to marry saved people.
Right.
Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Right.
Okay? And
but I love him.
You're not supposed to. Okay? And so that's that. And so doctrinal. New believers are expected to know the doctrines. And let me just say something. We are. I'm a Baptist, and I'm proud to be a Baptist. But when I say that, it's not a denominational name. Somebody on Twitter, I get all kinds of nut questions because of my replies on Twitter. And I jump in once in a while, and the guy says, you know, the Baptist denomination. I said, we're not a denomination. You know, and they say, oh, he's one of them. I said, yep, I am. We were not called Baptist by Jesus. This would have been the church at Glendale. I mean, we could name this the church at Glendale, and we'd be fine. Our members, our enemies called us Baptists because after we are saved, we baptize. So kids, little kids that got baptized when they were little and got saved, that didn't count. You see what I'm saying? So people need to understand that. People need to understand the Baptist distinctives. People need to understand the Bible is the Word of God. They need to understand assurance of salvation, the priesthood of the believer. It's important. Listen, we shared something this morning with the men, and something that'll revolutionize your Christian life if you get a hold of this day by day. When Christ was crucified, we were crucified with Him. He took our sins. When he was buried, we were buried with Him. When He was raised, we were raised with Him. We're as good as in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's exciting. The intimacy of the Christian life is more than we see it, and more than we live it, and more than we walk with it. It ought to excite us. But they need to know that. The priesthood of the believer. What's that mean? I can go directly to the throne room of God. I don't have to talk to somebody. I don't have to have a go-between. See? And so it's important. It's important that they have a Christian testimony. You say, preacher, what if somebody comes in here and they're saved, they're baptized, but they're living together? Say, how do you accept them into the church? I call it watch care. The Greek meaning of that is we're watching you. We don't want to turn people away. But somebody comes and they're living together, we say, you know, these folks want to be coming in our church under watch care. We're working on them with some things. We say that to the whole membership. And we're going to help them. What are you going to do? Well, they come on Sunday. On Monday, we're going to take them down to the Justice of Peace. And get that right, and then help them with a ceremony, maybe do a ceremony later, and love on them. Amen. To love on somebody doesn't mean you put aside the Bible. And there are churches that put aside the Bible and say, oh, we just love people. Well, that's, you know, that's like Woodstock. That's like the hippies freaks used to do. We love everybody. That's not us. Right? We don't put the Bible aside. Does that honor God? This is better than staying home watching TV, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. And so notice this. Notice this. There's the procedures in membership. You need a moment? You need a moment? Okay. Acts chapter, grandma wouldn't make it, would she? Man, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, let me say something about transfer of membership. Transfer of membership. You need to understand, when a member comes in, and we've already mentioned this, doctrine has to be right, testimony has to be right, but when a person comes in and says, preacher, I'm saved, and I talk to them and they say they're saved, and I say, well, what church are you coming from? Well, if they're coming from another church that preaches different doctrine, then they're going to have to be baptized. You say rebaptized? No, they're going to have to be baptized for the first time the right way. You see, baptism, Bible baptism, is the proper mode by the proper agent. And the proper agent is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Now, they may come from a church that says that it's not Baptist. You say, what do you do? I'll call the preacher and I'll say, hey, you know, and he might say, we're Baptistic. I mean, okay, let's talk about this. And I can check and see what their doctrine is. If their doctrine is right, I'll accept it.
Amen.
We'll accept it. That's a lot of work for the preacher to do. A lot of guys say, no, if the name of Baptist is not on there, then, well, some people don't name their church Baptist, but they're right down the line.
Right.
Okay? That's
right.
Between them and God.
Right.
Okay? What happens is, well, they come forward and then we baptize them. It's simple. I talk to them before I do that. And I show them just what I'm showing you. Okay? I don't say, this is the way we do it.
Right.
I don't say, I show them with this.
Amen.
Now, if they can't accept this as the basis for our methods, then they don't need to be a member, you see, because this has to be the basis for not only coming into this church but this church continuing. And so other people that can join the church by statement of faith or experience. On occasion, you'll have an individual meet the requirements for membership from another Baptist church and you accept them. Restoration. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was afflicted of many. So that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. Now what's this talking about? Well, Paul is talking to a church. There's an unruly member. He's gotten away from the Lord, but he wants to come back to the Lord. What do you say? No, you can't come back. That's not what we say. We welcome them back. Right?
Right.
We spend time with them. We spend time with them. We help them back. But people listen, there are people fallen in churches, and there are people, listen, we don't shoot our wounded. People get out of fellowship with God. People go through difficult times. We are an open-arm Baptist church. We are not saying, hey, you know, and let me just say, there are churches with the country club mentality. They only want a certain clientele.
Right.
That's not us. We're the Greenhouse Baptist. We want people growing at all stages. We want some slumping over, they need a little bit of water. We want some that need a little bit of fertilizer. We want some that are just glowing. We want people growing at every stage. We want some that are just seedlings. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what the church is all about. So we need to understand that there, when somebody gets sideways with God, and listen, in the years that this church has been in existence, people have gotten sideways. Right?
Right.
What do you do? Well, you don't stop loving them. You don't stop praying for them. You don't stop missing them. You realize, since I have been here 15 years, that everybody that's come and gone, I think about. It's a lot of people. Just in the 15 years I've been here. Now, if we go back to when it started, Wendy, you've seen a lot of people come and go. Right? And listen, as aggravating as ornery as some may be, and you know, I don't share everything, but since I've been here, there have been people say things to me and leave that I have not repeated, and they've said hurtful things to me. But I just I'm not going to let that get between me and praying for them and loving them and continuing. And one, I wonder where some of people are and what they're doing. I'm not doing that in a I want to know gossipy way. I just sometimes I said, Lord, wherever they are, bless them. I do. Everybody's come here and gone. I really do. And so people come back. People want to get right and come back. Amen. Amen. We're excited, and we ought to welcome them back with open arms. People come by letter. How do people leave the church? How do people leave the church? They letter out. They go to another church. They go to another church. They join another church. By the way, I'm pretty confused. Or for you folks out in the country, cornfused at people that leave a church like ours and they go to a church that's not doctrinally the same. Something's up.
Yeah. Right.
So by the way, you've got churches that are turning on their pastors. They want to run him out because they want to go neo. They want the lights, the skinny jeans with the cuts in them and the flashing lights and the bebop praise team and all that stuff and the clear and the guy to come in with jeans and tennis shoes and pullover shirt and rap. And I'm not for that. A bunch of people, this church ever said, Pastor, that's what we want to do. I said, see you later.
Amen.
You can have it. But that's not worship. It's not a style. It's ungodliness. There's a difference between the nightclub and Sunday morning.
Amen.
There's a difference between a rock concert and Sunday morning. I don't care how people try to slice and dice it. There's a difference. There's a difference, and you know that. I heard a lady on our radio station in the area, WMAL. And she said, I went into one of these churches and it was a rock concert. That's not worship. And let me just tell you something. She was probably unregenerate. But she said, when you worship, it's a serious time. It's not a dead time.
Right.
But it's not a rock concert.
Amen.
You know, you can get that anywhere. And by the way, we can fill all these seats. I put some drums and lights in here. Got Chris up on the drums. Got Bethany up here on the bass, you know. Arnold and Wendy on the praise team. I mean, we'd have We get Walter leading the singing. Get Walter in a double-breasted white suit, white shoes.
Like Barry White.
Yeah. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. How do other people leave the church? Feet first. Some people die. Right? Some people die. And then there's by exclusion. And that means somebody may be coming from another church, and there may be a problem with them coming from a local church. When people join here from another church, I talk to the pastor and see what's what. I do. Now, not every pastor calls. We've had people go out and letter out to other churches, and these guys. Here's what some pastors say: some problem member in our church leaves and goes to another church, and that pastor thinks they can help them. God bless you. You know, God bless you. You have that rock in your shoe. Amen.
Amen.
And you have that set of problems. I'm being serious. I'm being down. I'm being rubber meets the road with you all tonight. I'm being just candid. Amen?
Amen.
And just so you can understand. And then other people are removed from the membership after a year of or some time of inactivity. They're not, You say, why? Because here's what's happened. Some people say, hey, you need to come back and vote. And they haven't been there for 2 years, haven't been tithing, haven't been doing that. And they show up to vote. So you got to purge that membership. And then people remove for disciplinary reasons. And I want to look at that with you, because in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15 and following, this is a portion of Scripture that you ought to understand, not because it talks about church discipline, but because it puts forth a principle. You understand that? Don't find yourself saying, the Bible does not say that. Well, God gives us principles.
Amen.
Okay? You know, somebody talking to me about some person getting a tattoo. Okay? Well, preacher, the Bible doesn't say anything about having tattoos. Well, the Bible says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of God?
Right.
God created you. Are you not satisfied with how you look?
Right.
By the way, if you're not satisfied and you're going to get a tattoo, put it on your face. If you're not afraid, put it on your nose. Now, I know preachers that had tattoos before they were saved. They tried to get them off. They cover them up and everything.
Right.
And I teased with everybody. I said, I'm going to get a KJV 1611 tattoo on my muscle right here. But just, you know, that's. But you don't need that.
Right.
You know? Somebody's got a heart and they got Mary. You know? And then that's crossed out. And they got another heart that says Sally. And that's crossed out. And all down their arm, they got hearts of people, their girlfriends that they broke up with. Now I'm making light of it, but the principle.
Right.
The preacher, what about drinking? Well, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What about smoking? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. Oh, look at that person. They got tattoos all over their body. They don't have any room for anything else. They can't get another tattoo. They must know Jesus. That's not what somebody's going to say. They're going to go, what in the world? Okay?
Right.
And it's not just tattoos. It's people come in. It's March. Green hair. Right?
Right.
I mean purple hair, green hair. Walking around like it's normal. And today's world, weird is normal.
Exactly.
And normal is weird.
Right.
They look at
right.
you like... They look at me like that all the time anyway. But anyhow, verse 15 in Matthew 18. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him, and circle that word, alone. Alone. You say, why is that? Several reasons. Number one, because the Bible says to so. And number two, to protect testimony. It's the same thing I was talking about Arnold and Glade. You guys did get right, didn't you? Amen. But verse 16 says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So what you do is you say, look, I had a dust-up with so-and-so. Don't tell him what it is, but I want you to go and talk to him with me, or talk to her with me. You understand? Now, the first time people come together, they ought to get right. Right?
Amen.
Talk it out. And by the way, this may just throw you for a huge loop. This may just blow you away. But two people can see things differently. Right?
Right.
Now, if you're married and you didn't see that, if you hadn't seen that, you ain't listening. Women see things differently from men. You all need to pray together. They say differently from we don't. And let me say, people see things. You know, today, one of the worst things in baseball and football and all that stuff, and I don't watch a lot of it anymore, but they have the replay. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you just call the guy out, he's out. You know, now, you know, pretty soon there's going to be no umpires, there's going to be computers. And then they're going to start messing with the computers. You know, people see things differently. That's why you don't walk up and say, okay, let's get right. Okay, let's pray. Amen. Bye. That's not it. I offend Mona. I said, Mona, what did I do and why did that offend you? And tell me so I can understand.
Amen.
Number one, you need to understand because you don't want to do it again.
Right.
Okay. Number two, you want to listen to them because they need to know that you're concerned about taking care of it. It's not flippant.
Amen.
You know, we treat saying, you know, it's like kids get in a scuffle and you say, okay, say you're sorry. And that's a bad way to, that's not training them up in the way they should go, by the way. And so that's another message. But anyway, it says, it says, notice the last verse 16 says that every word may be established. In other words, you're going to get the whole story, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You're going to hear both sides. Now, those two witnesses may go with that person, and they may listen. They say, wait a minute, we came to help with this because they don't want to get it right because you don't get it, and that happens. You understand what I'm saying? So it's sort of where two or three are gathered. They're gathered to get things straight. Okay? But say the person just doesn't want to get right. The Bible says there, but if he will not hear thee, then take it with two or three more. And then verse 17, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Tell it to the church. It should never reach this. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man, a lost man, and a publican. Publican's one of those tax collectors, man. That's nasty. Don't even go near him. Now, preacher, have you ever dealt with church discipline? I was preaching in church I first pastored, and God told me that week I just need to preach on church discipline. Sunday morning. I want you to preach that. So I did. Two people got saved. Thought they were saved, they got saved. So listen to God, preacher, if you're a preacher. Preach what he wants you to preach. The second thing is, we had a guy in the church, and I'm driving to the church, and his house is next to church, and I see a lady going in this house. And he's not married. He got a kid. And I said, I asked the deacon, I said, hey, so, he said, yeah, she's been going. I said, oh, man. So I said, hey, what's going on? Well, she's living with me. I said, hey, you can't do that. Well, she's going to live with me, whether you like it or not, Pastor. I said, okay. So I got my deacon, went over and talked to him, prayed. He told us the same thing. Okay?
Wow.
So I told him, I said, okay, Sunday morning, we're going to bring him before the church right after I preach. He was there in the back row. And I didn't bring him up. I didn't try to. I said, this is what we did, and this is what's happening. And he came up, and he's weeping. And he said, I'm crying. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, we got married last night.
Amen.
Amen.
So we went on. And he's a great member. And so, but sometimes that happens. So, amen. That's membership. Membership is important. Let me just say something else in closing, and I'm done. As members, we should be involved in everything that God tells us to be involved in as a Christian. Witnessing, tithing, faith promise, reading our Bible, praying, faithfulness to church. This is our church. This is the place for you to be. If you're here, if you're a member of the church, this is where to be. Where to be. Now, some people work. I understand people work and people do this and, Super Bowl Sunday and stuff like that. But anyhow, we need to be faithful, right? This is our church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for your word, and we pray that you would challenge us to be the members that we should be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to receive an offering, and we're not going to have an invitation. You guys, you folks, if you're not right with God as a member, get right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, Tim?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray and give as the Lord directs. Father, thank you for the word. Pray that you bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're gonna have a get together on Friday night at 7 over here. We're gonna have a little barbecue. We'll throw some charcoal on the grill and cook some hamburgers and hot dogs. You guys want to bring some veggies or something, or dessert or something. We'll do that. I may throw some meat on the smoker. Bring it over. And so come on over. Invite somebody. And bring your boys. Bring your kids with you. Bring your boy with you. And we're just going to sit down and eat and talk about our wives. Amen? No, we're going to sit down. It's Father's Day weekend. And just sit down and drink some tea and coffee and stuff. Yeah, we can bring some hot. We'll get together on who's bringing what. We'll call. Bring some hot. Huh?
Bratwurst.
Bratwurst, amen. I had some bratwurst on my smoker. Amen. Amen. Good to see you, everybody. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Amen. Chris, step out close for us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for bringing us this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word and how it teaches how we need to be and act as members of your church. Pray you would please keep us safe, bring us back again safely on Wednesday. We pray all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.